So that's number seven of seven of stop dating the church. Peter, follow me, because I've got a job for you to do. That was the invitation that Jesus had given some years before. And lots of things had happened in those intervening years. But now it was extraordinary days. Expectations had been shattered, emotions stretched to the extreme, misunderstandings were rife, new understandings were being learnt. Jesus had been killed, but he had been risen. He was alive. People had seen him. Jesus had even given his disciples, his direct little group of people, an instruction. I'll meet you next in Galilee. Go there and I'll catch up with you. You see, Jesus wasn't with them all the time there. He just seemed to be coming and going. So they went, because that's what Jesus asked them to do. And while they were waiting, looking for something to do, Peter decides, I'm going fishing. Now, I heard some time ago, I went a few years ago to see a possible site that I might use or potentially someone might buy. But this site was maybe to be used for a campsite. And part of the feature of this site, it was a kind of an old farm, I guess, but they had developed it as a fishing farm. So people would go there, you'd pay your fee, and people would stay there overnight doing their fishing, or just during the day, maybe. And I'm not a big fisherman. I understand that it's nice for some people to go out fishing. But I was shocked, and I can't remember the exact figures, but I was shocked at this guy telling me how many people go fishing every single week. Now, I did look it up just a few weeks ago, and those people that go, in England anyway, that go fishing every week, it was just short of 200,000 people. Like, really? Is it that many people want to get out of their house and away from their wife? No, I'm sure there are other reasons for going fishing. Joking aside, whatever your reason for going fishing, there's lots of people that go fishing. Now, this wasn't the same kind of fishing that Peter went. This is kind of line fishing with a rod and so on. But Peter, that was his profession previously. Before he had received his call from Jesus, before he had pulled up his boat onto the shore and left it all behind, that was his job, a fisherman. So why wouldn't he decide, while he's twiddling his thumbs, waiting for Jesus to turn up? Come on, guys, I'm going fishing. Oh, all right, we'll come with you. So they went out. And many of them, and at least, were like Peter, professional fishermen. And what does it say they caught? Absolutely nothing. It happened once before. Maybe you remember that story. That was to do with when Jesus called Peter. They went out fishing, caught nothing. The next morning, they're there on the shoreside, cleaning their nets, getting things ready for the next night. Because night time was the right time to go fishing. I'm not trying to run an advert here. Those that remember, night time was the right time to go fishing, because the fish wouldn't see the nets and the bright lights and all that kind of thing with the sun, and they would get caught out. But here again, they've gone out, have cast their nets, nothing. And they're about 90 metres or so, 100 yards away from the shore. And in this early morning kind of sunlight, they can see that there's some character over there, and maybe even they see a little fire that's burning. And maybe they could even smell the that wood burning on the fire, because they're not that far away, but far enough that they can't quite make out who it is. And then that voice calls out to them as they're bobbing up and down on the water. And what does the voice say? You know, we get lost in some translation sometimes. It's good while many of us, maybe you do know more than English, but if you only know English, read around in different English translations, because it's a lot to try and learn the Greek, which is what it's originally recorded in. But if you know other languages, read around your other languages as well. Because do you know what Jesus says? They don't yet know that it's Jesus, but do you know what he says to these people? These fishermen? Do you know what he says? Yeah, do you know what his greeting is before? Yeah, the way that I had it translated, fellows, that was a very very interesting translation. Remember, any translation is an interpretation. But Jesus used a reference that he had used before. Children. Has anyone got a translation that puts it as children? That is, I looked it up, that is what it says in the Greek. Jesus says, hey kids! Really? Hey kids! And he also says that the way that some of the we get it translated, it's in a way of kind of like a question. But actually in the Greek, Jesus is not quite asking a question, but making a statement. And he's telling them, hey kids! You haven't caught anything, have you? How did he know? No, they embarrassingly reply. Without quite realizing, this is the way that Jesus talked to people. My little children. There are plenty of other places where it says, Tompedia in the Greek. My children, my children. And Jesus is calling out, my children, you haven't caught anything, have you? No, we haven't, they admit. And then Jesus shows his divinity. One commentator talks about how in Scripture we can have this wrestle about, is Jesus like man but God, or God but man, and the divinity and humanity of Jesus and so on. But here, there is suggested, we see the power and divinity, that dominion that God has, that he gave man originally, that somehow we have lost because of sin, that dominion over nature. That was the instruction he gave to Adam and Eve, to have dominion over the earth. So Jesus says, if you throw your net on the right side, then you'll catch something. How did he know? He was 90 meters away. He doesn't know this. He doesn't look like a fisherman. Otherwise he'd be fishing, wouldn't he? How does he know to throw the net that side? The net gets cast and they catch the fish. And the penny drops. John realizes, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That shadowy figure on the shore, it's Jesus. And he turns to Peter. He said, Peter, it's Jesus. And Peter, he stripped off his outer clothes anyway. He's there to work. So, you know, why wouldn't he take off his jacket? He's got his coat on. Right, getting stuck into his work. It may have even been even less than that that he was wearing. And realizing this is Jesus, what does Peter do? He grabs his coat. What do I teach people? Anyone here been taught life-saving, whatever? Anyone done swimming? I'm not a good swimmer. But if I was about to go swimming almost 100 meters, I don't think I would put my coat on. Anyway, he does it. He puts on his coat. He dives into the water. He jumps into the water because he wants to be with Jesus. Realizing that, wow, there's so many fish. And the last time I caught so many fish and the nets were breaking that time. And this time the nets aren't breaking. And the last time it was Jesus and he called me to something. Although Peter had messed up, he realized, but I still want to be in the presence of Jesus. I still want to be with Jesus. Jesus had come to Galilee to help them. He had told them where to fish. And this is the bit I really like. This is the cool bit. And Jesus cooked them breakfast. That's so fantastic. Can you imagine Peter coming up on the shore, wading out, probably not quite like, what was his name in one of the Bond films? Who was it? It was a Bond film not long ago. He just comes out of the water and dripping wet. And Daniel Craig, was it? Daniel Craig, whichever one it was. And he comes, I don't suppose that it was quite that kind of a picture because he's got his coat on, his outer garments anyway. Peter, and he's coming dripping wet, and he's coming to Jesus, but oh, that's, I tell you what, I'll let you into a little secret. I was very, very tempted to set up just behind the curtains here early this morning a bread making machine. Just so, because I thought the problem with that is it might start smelling of bread too early, so it would give the game away. But have you had that experience? You know, people have that expression, wake up, smell the coffee. Sorry for those that don't drink the coffee, but and it might have been decaffeinated. But there's that that aroma. Same with bread, isn't it? Have you ever been near a bread shop early in the morning? I think I was a camp staff member, but out with a bunch of other staff members when I was very young, and probably getting up to mischief, and I shouldn't admit that. But we went for a walk down at Chapel Porth in Cornwall. We went for a walk at whatever it was, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and silly thing, leaving all these younger kids asleep in their beds. But we went out for a walk and walked past the bakery. And at that time of the morning, that smell of freshly baking bread, can you picture it? Oh, man, I tell you, I've had blocked sinuses all week, and I'm so glad I can smell it. I can sniff through my nose. I can almost imagine that bready smell as well. Oh, delicious. And for those of us that like a fish as well, I was on a canoe trip one time, learning about outdoor education, and we were paddling away, and I was at the front of this canoe, and I realized that it was just getting a little bit harder to paddle. And I looked over my shoulder, and there was three of us in three canoes and eight of us all together, and I happened to be in the one with just two of us that time, with the guy that was leading the group, Mike, and I'm paddling, and I'm looking over my shoulder, and I thought, what's he doing? He wasn't paddling. Now, why is he leaving it all to me to do the paddling? And there he was. He was just laid back with a little fishing line. It was only a fishing rod. It was only about this long, this fishing rod. Just keep paddling, Nathan. and he caught a couple of fish that we had for supper that evening. I mean, that was, I think, probably the freshest I've ever had. But that smell of that bread, that smell of that fish being cooked there. Can you imagine Peter coming ashore smelling that smell and looking at the bread, the fish, realizing what has just happened, this massive big catch of fish as well. Remembering that last time Jesus told them where to fish, and it was daytime, and he followed Jesus. Jesus gave him a call, gave him a chance. But Peter had messed up. Just some days before, that day where Jesus was taken away and was crucified. True to Jesus' claim, Peter had denied his Lord. Once, twice, three times. The first time when Jesus had called Peter, we can read the story in John chapter 1. Jesus says, "Your name is Simon. Your name is Simon." Do you know what Simon means? It means hearer. Someone that listens. Your name is Simon. You're the hearer, but from now on, I'm going to call you, what does Jesus say? Peter, Petros. I'm going to call you Peter. Peter, do you know what Peter means? Rock. Someone who's solid. I find it interesting that Jesus uses this new name, moving Peter, saying, I'm changing you. I'm calling you to make a change in your life. I don't want you just to be a hearer anymore. I want you to be rock solid in your faith. Had Peter been rock solid in his faith? Well, he tried to be. And maybe you can recognize some of the characteristics with Peter, and maybe not, and hopefully not, but I realize that I do sometimes. You see, it's easy for Peter to be bold as brass, to speak up when there's other followers around. But how did Peter do when he didn't have the support of other people? When he was stood there by the fire in that courtyard. Jesus, somewhere over in the corner, bound, waiting for this trial. There's no one else there to support him. He's trying to keep warm. He wants to be with Jesus, but actually he's just dating the church. And when he's accused, didn't I see you with this guy Jesus? What does Peter say? No, it wasn't me. Must be my doppelganger. Someone that looks like me. No, you must be mistaken. And then an hour or so later, someone else, do you know what they say? I'm very sure that I saw you as well. No, it wasn't me. Three times, someone says, I'm sure I've seen you with Jesus. Three times, Peter says, no, it wasn't me. In fact, in the account given, it suggests that Peter used very strong language in order to distance himself from that accusation, that claim. And then what happened? Just as Jesus said, the cock crowed. Peter realized Jesus was right. We find another little preemptive part of that story in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. Where Jesus is having this meal with his other followers, and there is this conversation going on, and Jesus says, just to paraphrase the story, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, I'm praying for you. Bit strange, isn't it? I mean, Peter was the bold one. Peter was the one to speak up all the time. But Jesus still says to Peter, I'm praying for you. And when you have returned to me, and when you have repented, strengthen your brothers. Even at that point in that story, Jesus knew Peter's going to struggle with this. But don't worry, Peter, Jesus said. I know I called you to follow me, and you did. You left your boat on the shore. And I know that we've had some kind of funny stories and things happen in between. And I know that I've got a job for you to do. But even when you give up, even when it gets difficult, even when you deny me, it's all right. I've still got a job for you to do. But what was the clause? We need to repent. We need to return. We need to stop warming ourselves by the fire and really come into the heated presence of Jesus. We need to stop using excuses to distance ourselves, because we like to be in the presence, but we don't really want to be strongly associated. Simon the hearer was not yet fully Peter, the solid rock. The change was still taking place. And I wonder if that change is still taking place in our lives. Have we yet made that decision to move from just being the listener, coming along to church and hearing a good sermon, or maybe a mediocre one, hearing an okay discussion about something that we feel strongly about in Sabbath school? But how are we when we're standing by that fire in our workplace? When we're standing by that fire in our neighbourhood, down our road, when we're standing by that fire at school or university, are you something to do with Jesus? What's our answer going to be? Our first sermon in the series of Stop Dating the Church, I introduced you to two characters, Jack and Grace. Maybe you remember the story, and Jack and Grace, they were just besotted with each other. They were inseparable. Everywhere that Jack was, you know that that's where Jack Grace was, and vice versa. But time went on, and weeks rolled into years, and they were still together always, but they just hadn't seemed to progress any further with their relationship, until one day when Grace asked Jack, what was her question? Are you really committed to our relationship? And what was Jack's reply? I'm here, aren't I? What else do you want? Is that our approach to God? We're willing to say, well, we're here at church, God. What else do you want? Are we like Simon? I can hear your sermons, Lord. What else do you want? When we stop dating the church, we move from being just a hearer to a doer. And even when we move from a hearer to a doer, there might be occasions when, like Peter, we're hesitant, we're nervous, we're apprehensive, we fall short and give up. The good news is Jesus doesn't give up on us. Just like Peter, he wants to say to us, I still have a job for you to do. I just need you to turn around. Stop pursuing your own ambitions and come after me. Jump in the water. Get out of that boat, just like Peter did. Jackets are optional. Get in that water and come rushing to Jesus, dripping wet, saying, I want to be in your presence. And when Jesus says to us, do you love me? That we're ready to say yes. Yes. And when Peter asks this question, well, what about other people? And Jesus says, don't worry about other people. I don't want you to worry about it. Don't stop looking around at others. Just concentrate on yourself and me. And as we read that scripture reading, where did I stop at? Where Jesus said to Peter, follow me. That's what I really want. I want you to follow me, not just to hear me, but to change your life. To stop dating the church. Stop dating God. Just turning up and going through the motions. We need to jump in the water and swim our way to Jesus. Jesus took that bread, took the fish. Going back to the Greek and Greek terminology, there are other times where it's recorded like this. On those very hills, when Jesus fed the large crowds, it says he took the bread and the fish and gave it to them. Just days before, at that Last Supper, around that table or however they were reclining, and it says that Jesus took this bread and the wine and gave it to them. Here again, in this story, Jesus takes this bread and the fish and gives it to them. Here's an invitation. Here's an object lesson. Will you eat of what Jesus wants to give you? 3 times Peter had denied Jesus. 3 times he replied to Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Then follow me, because I have a job for you to do, Jesus says. Seven-part series. Stop dating the church. Number one, we looked at turning up isn't good enough. Number two, God still calls his church his bride, despite us being a bit like Peter sometimes and not really standing up for Jesus. Number three was, we need church because church needs us. There is a reciprocal benefit when we turn up and when we get involved. Remember, church is God's idea and God's ideal, despite the fact that it's full of other people that maybe we don't get along with all the time. Number four was, show your passion. It's a place where you can get involved. Number five was, choose a church which cares most about mission. And that's a challenge for all of us. Do we really have this as our focus in everything that we do? Number six, we looked at stop dating the church and don't just turn up and so on, but really enjoy the purpose of Sabbath. We're going to talk about Sabbath and delve into that later on in the year as well. I'm looking forward to talking through with you a few sermons on Sabbath and what it's about and the blessing of Sabbath. But to restore the joy of Sabbath, remember that was the last one that we did. What was it? Past, present, future. We remember what Sabbath was about from last week. We enjoy the presence of Sabbath, and in the future we look forward to next Sabbath already. And number seven, we stop dating the church when we follow and we feed. FAF, stop faffing about, we might say, but this time we want you to faff. We want you to follow and feed. Follow Jesus and feed his sheep. We might have made a commitment in the past, but maybe it's got a little bit like Peter. We get so caught up with life. Jesus is still calling us. I want you to follow and feed. I want you to change your life from your own pursuit to doing the things I want you to lead you to do. It may be that some people here haven't made that decision, and maybe you're thinking, you know what, I want to stop dating the church, and I want to, from now on, I want to find out what it is to really follow Jesus. Maybe you want to pursue that to a point of baptism, saying, yes, I want to give up on myself and I want to live for Christ. And why not do that today? Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, Jesus is calling each one of us over and over again. Come, follow me and feed my sheep. My daughter likes watching a program. We seem to have television programs now, that channels that put things on continual repeats. Now, a series that was on a few years ago is just on, like, one after another after another. The show that my daughter seems to be watching now is, has anyone seen Say Yes to the Dress? It's a show where, I think it came from America, now they do a UK version, and now they do a UK, different areas of the UK version. But it's basically ladies going in and they're trying on a wedding dress, and you know, they got their family, friends there, and they're having these arguments and discussions, and there's all the drama. This is real life stuff. And then, of course, the question comes with the fitter, will you say yes to the dress? And the bride-to-be says, yes. I don't mean to be too patronizing, but at the end of our series of Stop Dating the Church, will you say yes to Jesus? Feed his sheep. Follow him like you're ready to jump into the water.